You can trust the Lord. You can trust Him. And I still feel that being impressed on my heart here this morning. We can trust Him. I was the Sunday school lesson this morning, which many of you were in your classes, you would have heard as the teachers were teaching about how God knows everything about us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's never an event that took place in your life that He doesn't know about, something that you go through that He doesn't know about. And as my wife was saying, there's times, who do we talk to? There's sometimes the only one we can talk to is the Lord. He understands us. We can misunderstand one another. We can misjudge one another. We can take each other's problems out of context. But the Lord and His faithfulness, we can trust Him. Amen. We can trust Him. I know we have First Sunday. I do want to give them, I'm going to preach for a few moments. I feel like God's already done something special. I feel like I could just say amen and we just come pray. And I thank God for that. I know God is working and appreciate. If God's touched your heart in this service, I encourage you to act on what you have felt. Let God minister to your heart. Let Him comfort you, give you strength. No matter what you're going through, God's going to help you. I have a simple thought this morning. I want to talk to you about. Go in the book of Psalms chapter 16 if you would. And I won't be long, I promise. I'll be mindful of the time and also be mindful just of that the Lord's already done some things. I will share some things with you, some few things I feel like God will touch your heart with. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 1. And I'll give you a moment to get there. There's one that's able to keep us, church. There's one that's able to keep us. You're not able to keep yourself. I'm not able to keep myself. This isn't a tough man competition to where we're going to show up at the finish line one day and say, man, I'm glad I was strong enough to make it through life. That's not what it's about. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's about God's sovereign dealings in our lives, His ability to preserve us and to help us. And this came to mind. I was in prayer trying to prepare for the service this morning. But in Psalm 16, one verse I want to read to you. I don't know in your Bible, the first word in my Bible is all capitalized. But it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." Preserve me. That's the only thing I want to read to you. I'm going to read some of the verses in a moment. But preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. That is a prayer that all of us need to pray. A prayer to be preserved in this fallen world. In a world that wants to destroy us, corrupt us, bankrupt us, ruin our families, ruin our marriages, ruin our churches. There's only one that is able and capable of keeping us in these days that we live. And we must fresh and anew turn to Him and ask God, Lord, I need You to do something for me, God. I know You've forgiven me. God, I know You have provided so many things for me already, God. And I know this sounds strange, but Lord, will You simply preserve me? That's an interesting prayer, isn't it? It's not the only place you find that is this in the Bible, but Psalms 145 and 20 even says, the Lord preserveth all them, I want you to hear this, all them that love Him. So we know that number one, the psalmist is praying, Lord, I want You to preserve me. But number two, we are giving a promise that if you love the Lord, He will preserve you. That is the beauty of these passages that we see right there. Now, interesting that most times we perceive this reality of being protected when we have been delivered from something that is physical. You know, if we almost get in a car wreck, am I the only one that if you almost get in a car wreck, you kind of say, thank the Lord, that was a close one. Or if something almost happens, or if you think that you may have a bad diagnosis, or if there's something that falls down, you know, it almost hits you, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, Lord, that was a close one. Thank You for protecting me. But I want to let you know, God preserving you and protecting you and keeping you is more than just the physical. He's also doing things every day, things that you do not see in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm as well. I want to kind of show you this a little bit more. Now, if you have your Bibles open, this is going to be a quick little Bible study. I'm not going to exhaust this. I'm kind of abandoning my notes there. But I want you to go to Psalms 97. I want to show you this in the Bible. Well, let's just kind of flip through the Bible. And let me show you these few verses of Scripture here. Psalms chapter 97 as well. 97 and verse 10. Psalms 97 and verse 10. I'm going to read it to you. It says in Psalms 97 and verse 10, it says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints, and he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." Again, we see the same principle here. What does he do for us? He preserves us. Those that love the Lord, those that hate evil and wickedness, the Lord preserves us. He preserveth the souls of the saints. I want you to notice that there. Brothers and sisters, something more important than your physical body is your soul. I want you to hear that. Now, it doesn't mean that your physical body is unimportant, but your soul is eternal. Your body one day will be eternal. But right now, we understand this, that the condition of your soul is going to affect where you spend eternity. You understand that? You can have a broken body and a healthy soul. You can be saved, and thank God for that. You can be saved with a broken body. Wouldn't that be a mess if it was the other way, you know, if that wasn't the truth? But the fact is this, that when your soul is right with the Lord, when we ask God to preserve our soul, God, I want to live righteously before you, God. He can preserve our soul. We can live in eternity with him. And this, I want to show you one other place in your Bible. Flip forward to Psalms 121. 121, and I'm going to make a few more comments. I promise you I won't exhaust this here today. Psalms 121. But this is probably in the Bible, I would say, the greatest psalm of safety that you would read. Psalm 121. I want to read it to us. And I want you to follow along in your Bible, okay? And this is familiar to you, but there's going to be a word that is going to show up six times in this chapter. And it's the same concept in which I've already been kind of exhorting to you in the last few moments. Notice in verse 1, he says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." My help cometh from who? Look, my help comes from who? Look, I love you all, and I know we can help each other. We can change tires, and we can do little things here and there. We can pray for one another. But when everything is said and done, when a man and a woman cannot help me, and when my soul is in a crisis, my help comes from who? The Lord. That's where it's going to come from. It's not going to come from a program. It's not going to come from me enrolling in this or that over there. But no, my help is going to come from the Lord. Why? Notice this. Then the psalmist would say, "The Lord, which made heaven and earth." You looked around recently. Our God has done a whole lot. Our God has made a lot of things. My God is sustaining a lot of things right now. If he can hold it all together, if he can put the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky, and he can create all things, and he's made the heavens and the earth. I'm telling you right now, I have confidence that, as my wife saying, we can trust him. My help comes from the Lord who's made absolutely everything. Boy, don't that sound good? It almost sounds too good to be true. But it's not. It's a reality for the believer. That's where my help comes from. In the hour of need, that's where it's going to come from. My help comes from the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 3. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, but he that keepeth thee will not slumber." Now, first time that is mentioned there, I want you to notice that in verse 3. "He that keepeth thee will not slumber." That word "keepeth" there means to preserve. It means to protect. That's what that word means there. So earlier I mentioned we're praying, "Lord, preserve me." But here the psalmist saying, "The Lord, my help comes from the Lord. It is he, the one that makes heaven and the earth. He will not let my foot be moved. It's he that keepeth thee." And guess what? He does not slumber. You ever had a need and nothing was open? Oh, yes. You go visit the country where I'm from. I hope you don't need nothing too important. You're going to have to go to the emergency room. Why is that? Because everything closes at a specific time. And you can ride into town and ride around and you think to yourself, I can't, what do people do? Or why are people, why ain't that store open? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're at home like you should probably be doing. But here, you know, we live in a city, it seems like never sleeps. There's always something open, something going on. But isn't it amazing to know there's times that you can't get in touch with somebody or something is not open? But aren't you glad to know that God is never closed? There's never a moment that you'll go to prayer and there'll be that little sign flipped over and says, you know, close, be back in the morning. That'll never happen. God is there at all times. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He keepeth, he preserveth thee. And he says he preserveth thee and he will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Second time the word keepeth is mentioned. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You ever been outside on a hot day and you just needed some shade? It's amazing when there's nowhere to go inside how beautiful shade is. We take it for granted right now. There's shade underneath the tree out there and probably none of us will stand out there today. But get in the middle of a field somewhere and you're hot. If you could bag up the shade and sell it, you'd make some money. But you sit underneath that shade and man, it does it not feel good? And is that not here in the, when this would be written? This is a context where there are used to being out in the open and the sun and the rugged temperatures of the day. And my, what it is. I mean, just look at Jonah there when he found a shade tree. God took it away and he's ready to die. It was wonderful. He felt great under there. Why is that? He had the shade. He had that comfort there. And I'm telling you, the Lord is saying here, he's saying the Lord is thy keeper. He's a shade upon thy right hand, which means he's there. He's one that's going to, he's going to comfort us. So we know that he keeps us and that he comforts us. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Notice that it says the Lord will protect you. He will preserve you from evil. Brothers and sisters, we need to be preserved from evil. Why is that? We live in an evil day. Do you think it's hard to find evil? You think it's hard to find it? It's everywhere. Evil is here in this world. The mystery of iniquity is already working in this world. Evil is all around us. Evil is all around us in this world. I mean, you go, you turn on the news, you hear of evil things. I mean, how tragic was it we hear of even the things that took place locally here? Shootings and children that are showing up dead. Evil is all around us, brothers and sisters. It's all around us. But the Lord is able to preserve you from evil. There's a haven. There's a place. God can keep you. He goes on to say in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. When you get up in the morning and you walk out your door, guess what? You don't have a clue what's going to happen, do you? Do you? Think about it. We got it all planned out, right? I mean, I know it's natural to have a plan and we have a daily routine that we go through. But how many people's daily routines were all of a sudden instantly interrupted by an event or a tragedy or circumstance or a temptation or whatever it is that could come your way and you didn't even know it was going to be there, but God knew it was going to be there. But the psalmist is praying, God, I want you to protect me. I want you to preserve me, Lord. I need you to keep me. And I'm telling you, as we read in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and shall establish you and shall keep you from evil. That word keep there, it means actually to guard us from evil. The angel of the Lord encamps round about us. There is one that sees things that we do not see. He knows the future and he knows the past. He knows the present. And we're so much finite beings that are unable to see. We cannot comprehend but very little. But God is able to preserve us. What I'm simply trying to tell you is this morning, a very short and simple way is this. Put your trust in him. He is the one that is able to keep you. As my wife is already saying, and we begin to rejoice and we prayed, what are we saying? God, I'm trusting you no matter what happens. If I'm sick in body, Lord, or if I'm going through something in my mind, God, I can only trust you to preserve me in my life. I've got 2 children I want God to preserve. I'm gonna do my best to raise them right, But I realize they're going to face some things that a daddy can't protect them from. How many knows that's right? You were there. There's things your mom and dad wish you would, you know, that you would have never had to face. But you'll have to face them. I'll have to face them. Some of you are in your elder years, you're facing things you've never had to face before. But God's able to keep you from the youngest to the oldest, from the infant to the elderly. God's able to take care of us. The fear of the unknown is this: God, I don't know what's in the future. And God's telling us, I know you don't, but I do. And you can trust me. You can trust me. Don't you want to trust the Lord? Don't you want to trust the Lord? Jude 1 and 24, I want to pray, but Jude 1 and 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You hear that? He's able to keep you. I often said this, the King has a keeper. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Isn't that a good news? He's able to keep you and he's able to present you. You ever thought about what we face in one lifespan? From the day you get saved till you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, think about all that you have overcome or will overcome. Think about all the snares of the enemy. How many believes the enemy's got a trap for you? I think sometimes we're not careful. We forget the devil's out there. We talk about him every now and then and forget that he is actually like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's easy for you and I to forget about that. But what is he seeking to do? He's seeking to devour me. He's seeking to devour you. He's constructing things to ruin your life and all this. So what I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, is this. There's only one that is able to give us the strength and the wisdom and the guidance. The only one that's really, really worthy. And what can I say? How can I make it through this world? Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad you got a shepherd that's going before you? I read about the shepherd. Years ago, I read a book called Traveling Lightly. And it's talking about what the shepherd does. And also, I forget the man's something Phillips, I believe his name was, also wrote a book on a shepherd's view of the 23rd Psalm. But how a shepherd would go before the sheep. He would look for the little holes where the snakes would be, and he would collapse the holes and do preventative measures before they would graze there, because it was known that the sheep would go down to eat, and an asp is what they would call them, would actually jump up and latch onto their nose, and also how he would look for certain insects, and he would go kind of graze through the grass, looking around, protecting, making sure the path is clear. Brothers and sisters, that's who I want to lead me. I don't want to be somebody up there's kicking through the high weeds thinking I know where everything is. I don't. You don't. But God does. I want to trust him, don't you? Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet. I'm trying to figure out exactly. It's still early, but I just feel in my heart that we need to open the altars to pray. It's only 11:50. But between the song service that was sang, and I looked out and God was touching so many hearts. He's touched my heart this service. Is it all right if we come and find a place and say, Lord, I want to trust you. Fresh. Don't it feel good sometimes just to make a fresh commitment to him and say, God, I just want to trust you. God, I want you to preserve me. In Sunday school, you were taught, Lord, search me and try me. Lord, you know me, so search me and try me. Now we're saying, Lord, we want you to preserve me. But God, we're also going to leave the service today. But God, all we've learned in Sunday school and been challenged in this service, I want to leave here saying, God, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Can we come find a place to pray here this morning? Let's give God a few moments of prayer. Ask God to be with us on this Sunday morning. I know it's been a little different, but I believe God's got special things he's been doing in our hearts. And I just want to be obedient to the Lord and ask God to have his way in this altar call. Thank you, Jesus.